NASA launches a one-ton rover to Mars. Boeing says it's considering its future in Wichita. And Tom Enders thinks there will be fewer airliners bought in 2012. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 28, 2011. NASA began a historic voyage to Mars with Saturday's launch from Cape Canaveral of MSL, the Mars Science Laboratory, which carries a car-sized rover named Curiosity. The mission will pioneer precision landing technology and a sky crane touchdown to place Curiosity near the foot of a mountain inside Gale Crater on August 6th of 2012. During a nearly two-year prime mission after it lands, the rover will investigate whether the region has ever offered conditions favorable for microbial life, including the chemical ingredients for life. Curiosity carries 10 science instruments and has a total mass 15 times that of the Mars rover's Spirit and Opportunity. Some of the tools are the first of their kind on Mars, including a laser-firing instrument for checking rocks' elemental composition from a distance, and an X-ray diffraction instrument for definitive identification of minerals in powdered samples. Because it literally weighs a ton, the Curiosity rover is too heavy to employ airbags to cushion its landing as previous Mars rovers could. Part of the MSL spacecraft is a rocket-powered descent stage that will lower the rover on tethers as the rocket engines control the speed of descent. Landing a heavier spacecraft with greater precision is a step in technology development for human Mars missions of the future. Boeing says it's evaluating the future of its modification center in Wichita, which has gotten the attention of lawmakers and union leaders in Kansas. Following the announcement last week, elected and union officials requested a meeting with Boeing. They say the company made promises to put jobs in Kansas should it be awarded the KC-46A contract from the Air Force, which it was back in February. But the Wichita Eagle reports that, according to Kansas Governor Sam Brownback, there is no written agreement or contract requiring Boeing to stay open in Wichita. The company's announcement says, in part, quote, "Because of defense budget pressures, we are conducting a number of market studies to determine how to best preserve and grow our business and continue to provide quality and cost-efficient services for our customers. We anticipate completion of the Wichita study by the end of the year or in early 2012, unquote. Ray Goforth, executive director of the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace, one of the unions representing employees at Boeing, has a meeting scheduled for this Thursday to talk about the study. Airbus has released a set of 2012 expectations, which sounds like a mix of good and bad news. The bad news for Airbus is it sees a decline in orders in 2012 compared to 2011. The good news? So many airplanes were ordered in 2011 that a production increase is likely. Airbus CEO Tom Enders made the comments in an interview published Thursday in the German newspaper Börsen Zeitung. Reuters reports that Enders told the company 2012 will not likely see the rush of orders experienced by both Airbus and Boeing in 2011. Both companies announced re-engined versions of existing airplanes, and airlines looking to cut fuel costs filled up order books on both sides of the Atlantic. Airbus recently announced it will increase overall A320 family production to 42 aircraft per month next year, and Enders says that could go as high as 44 per month, but he was not yet ready to commit to that level at this time. Boeing is about to embark on what it calls a dream tour for its 787 Dreamliner, showing the plane off to customers and partners in targeted markets in December, with additional stops being planned over the next 6 months. December stops include Beijing, Guangzhou, and Haikou to visit customers, partners, and government officials in China, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and Nairobi, Kenya in Africa to visit Ethiopian Airlines and Kenya Airways, and Doha to visit Qatar Airways. Additional tour stops planned for January through April will be detailed as those plans become firm. Many of the stops will include opportunities for local media to tour the airplane and talk with Boeing executives and pilots. Test aircraft ZA-003 is the one being used. All the flight test equipment has been removed and a stunning new interior installed. The plane has also received a refreshed Boeing livery. Up next on ANN, the U.S. will buy scrapped Harriers from the U.K. for use as spares. Albuquerque students get schooled at Aspen Avionics. And if you're seeing mailbox and fences, you're probably not on a runway. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, November 28th. I'm Paul Plack. Members of a charter school called SSLC, the Southwest Secondary Learning Center, visited Aspen Avionics in Albuquerque, New Mexico last week and got a tour of the facility and an introduction to available career paths in the aerospace industry. Lee Truitt, SSLC's flight school coordinator, says of the school, quote, SSLC currently has 280 students enrolled, and 40 of them are participating in the Aeronautical Education and Research Opportunities Program. The students who are participating all have the eventual goal of becoming private pilots. Exposing the students to real-world aviation-related companies like Aspen Avionics allows them to see what career paths are available in the field of aerospace, unquote. The students took a tour of testing and manufacturing at the plant and got to meet and speak with employees from the intern level all the way up to executive level staff. For the students, the most popular part of the visit reportedly was flying the Aspen Evolution flight display system on a simulator. The UK Ministry of Defense has finalized a deal to sell as many as 72 surplus Harriers to the U.S. Marine Corps for use as spare parts. The U.S. Department of Defense will pay $180 million. The sale was announced during debate in the British Parliament on Thursday. Reuters reports that the ministry canceled the Harrier program and retired the fleet as part of a major cut in defense spending last year. The move was said to be a factor in BAE's announcement that it plans to cut up to 3,000 jobs in Britain. The controversy over allowing lithium-ion batteries on airplanes has died down lately, and almost everyone agrees the batteries installed in mobile devices carried on board planes by passengers represent no threat to flight safety. But on a regional express flight from Lismore to Sydney in Australia on Friday, a passenger's iPhone started emitting dense smoke, accompanied by a red glow. All passengers and crew on board were unharmed. The matter has been reported to the Australian Transport Safety Bureau and the Civil Aviation Safety Authority for investigation. And finally today, a student pilot in a Cirrus SR-20 made what was described as a hard landing on a residential street in Pasco County, Florida, near Tampa last Tuesday. He told deputies that his GPS had indicated the street was Pilot Country Airport, which is actually about 3 miles from the Pasco Trail subdivision where he landed. The plane had departed from Sanford, Florida. On landing, it hit some mailboxes, small trees, and a fence, according to WTSP television. A neighbor who witnessed the landing told the station, the pilot appeared to be Chinese and did not speak English well. The witness says the pilot insisted the street was Pilot Country Airport. Quote, we land here all the time, unquote. Neither the student nor anyone on the ground was injured. I've heard of people claiming erroneous GPS instructions as an excuse for being late. Somehow I don't think that excuse will go over so well in this case. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in a Best of Bob, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talks about that case 2 years ago in which two Northwest pilots overflew their destination, Minneapolis, and how the case may be relevant to general aviation. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.